Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's the only tune I learned on the
Were you mimicking the violin?
It's the only tune I ever played on the violin.
But the voice you're giving there sounds a bit like it's
pop.
like a woodwind instrument.
How would you do a violin noise? It's exactly the same. I'm just giving it a bit of a pop.
I wouldn't go pop, 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 pop. It's Morrissey.
All right, then. Watcha, it's Monday morning, and it is the morning. This is the Luke and Pete Show with Pete and Luke doing their thing early in the morning, just as it's dawning.
Yeah. Good on you, Pete.
Picks up all the post bags in his van.
Oh, they changed that now, you know that.
What?
So, hello everyone.
Hello.
I'm the Luke part of this.
Hi.
Nice to see you and hear you and speak to you again. Mm. They've changed the whole Postman Pat thing.
What does he do now then?
Is he
been made redundant?
I was as confused as anyone. First of all, shout out to my niece, Betsy, who's 4 today.
Oh, happy birthday, niece.
And Betsy,
I mean.
Yeah, that's what I call that. Niece, get in.
Niece, teamy.
Went to her birthday party on Saturday. Lots of fun.
I saw pictures. Yeah. It looked like a lot of fun.
It was great.
They had a indoor bouncy castle.
Yeah, that was
which
loud.
Which is a bit turd ducking.
It was loud, yeah. Right. It was loud. But the reason I'm saying this about Bets is because this is where my apparent knowledge of this comes from.
Right, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
When she stays with us for the weekend or whatever, or she has done traditionally, well, she put a telly on occasionally, mostly when Uncle Lukey is tired, which is about 3 hours after she turns up.
Yeah.
And anyway, so Postman Pat is not at all like I remember it. So I believe I'm right in saying, and all the parents out there listening will know far better than I, but I believe I'm right in saying that it's all CGI now.
Yeah.
So it's not the stop motion animation, which I found very charming, but that's probably just my age.
It's very labour intensive, the old plasticine, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm. And it's also, I think the theme tune's completely changed.
What?
So it's not bum 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 bum.
What is it then?
Bum. I can't remember, but it's not as good.
I remember an edition of Total Guitar magazine. It used to have how to play the Postman Pat theme tune on an acoustic guitar, which is really not what you're going to Total Guitar for. But I did have a good old go trying to learn it.
But it's if you've got young children, it might be fun.
Well, it's actually quite a sweet kind of tune because the melody's kind of almost irrelevant. I'm doing like as if Brian Setzer would do it.
Just as day is dawning.
He picks up all the post bags in his van. Everybody knows his bright red van. Da-da-da-da-da. As he gives you see them, maybe you can never be sure. It's a bit like a horror movie, isn't it?
There'll be knock,
knock,
ding,
ring,
ding dong,
letters through your door.
Here's Johnny.
I used to think it was letters because I'm from the northeast. I used to think he was saying letters through your door. I said, let me through your door.
That makes sense.
Letters through your door.
Yeah.
Letters through your door.
The bass line you did at the start of that was very Les Claypool.
Yeah.
It's like a Les Claypool from Primus. I feel like he might have performed the South Park theme tune.
No, that was... Oh, what did you say?
Primus.
Yeah, Primus did. Yeah,
yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, great stuff. So, Postman Pat, that's that done to death.
Fuck off.
See how different it is now.
That's the same melody.
I feel like it's different to that. I don't think that's it.
Well, that's Postman Pat's special delivery. Actually, I think that's not even CGI anymore.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I think it's different to that now, honestly. Anyway, That is...
Bossman Pat.
That's, I mean, it's just... I know it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make any difference. I was listening to a fantastic interview with Philip Pullman over the weekend.
His Dark Materials.
Exactly. He's got another book out. I'm in the middle of reading it at the moment. It's fantastic.
His Less Dark Materials.
For me, it's an appointment read, a Philip Pullman book. So right. When I've got books on the go and books in a pile that I want to work through, when a Pullman comes in, straight at the top of the pile.
It pulls to the top.
It does.
Is it a situation where, is he the guy, I thought he did like kids' books, like teenage books.
I'm not sure about his other work. I've only read his Dark Materials.
Okay.
But his Dark Materials is, I think it was originally written for kids.
Isn't there like a polar bear?
Yes.
It?
There is right. An
okay,
polar
yeah,
bear. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
kids.
But he's got in the middle of a second trilogy at the moment, and the second book is called The Secret Commonwealth, and the second trilogy is called The Book of Dust.
Right.
Anyway, I'm in the middle of reading it at the moment, and I read and I listened to an interview with him. Obviously, he's doing the rounds to promote it.
Yeah,
he's quite an interesting guy. And he was talking about the fact that the first book, Northern Lights, was made into a movie called The Golden Compass with Daniel Craig and Nicole Kidman and stuff. Mm. And he sort of very sort of graciously said, oh, it wasn't great. You know, it deserved the 3-star reviews that they got everywhere, blah, blah, blah. And they didn't make the second and the third one.
Mm.
But then what transpired was that he's very hands-off when it comes to the movies being made on the back of the books. Because he said, look, to be honest, I'm not a filmmaker.
Mm.
And... it doesn't affect what I'm doing in any way. I mean, if you don't like the films that are made off the back of it, well, it doesn't mean the book's any worse.
Yeah.
You
know,
so he's quite relaxed about the whole thing, which I found sort of fairly, well, very gracious, but also quite interesting because most people you'd expect them to be very possessive over the things they've created. Because he's created a whole universe there, really.
Yeah, you know? And also, I guess he's got a BBC series coming out as well, so...
Yes.
Don't hedge your bets.
So that's got Lin-Manuel Miranda in it as well, hasn't it? Which is interesting.
Ah, okay.
And I think Ruth Wilson plays Mrs. Coulter in that, which is an excellent piece of casting, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I finished the second season of Succession last night as well.
It's good, isn't it?
Boom! Loving it. Loving it.
The wry smile. We won't go any further than that.
I'm loving it. He's worth watching, though. Yes. Very much worth watching.
He dead.
Yeah.
Fuck off!
They all sound like that.
It's Greg is just like a higher version of it. He dead.
Yeah.
I want the company. I want 30% of the company.
Yeah.
And then Greg is like, hey dad. Was it uncle? Hey uncle. I'd really like the company, please.
Yeah. And
I'd really like a good job in your company, please. And then the bloke from Spooks is like, I don't know. Could we not have this in the home, please?
Yeah. Oh, you keep calling the bloke from Spooks.
It's the bloke from Spooks, isn't it?
If he's in loads of stuff.
And Macaulay Culkin's brother.
Yeah. I like the fact that Matthew McFadden started out, but he at some point did period dramas and stuff.
Yeah,
so he was Mr. Darcy,
wasn't
he?
Mr. Darcy, yeah.
Yeah, you can't imagine him being Mr. Darcy based on what he's like in Succession.
But then again,
guys, everyone listening, that's what actors do.
Yes.
Isn't it? They transform themselves.
Check this out.
Yes, very impressive.
I'm doing the hand across the face thing.
In the words of the great Ian McKellen and extras, how do they know what to say? It's written down for them in a script. How do they know where to stand? Someone tells them. It's an excellent series anyway, and this isn't a spoiler. It's a very good line that I enjoyed in it, which at one point he says, to make a tomlet, you've got to break a couple of Gregs, which is very interesting.
I like the theme tune as well.
Oh, the theme is great. Shout out to all the TV and film composers out there, man. They're doing their thing these days. I mean, these guys are killing it.
Well, you were obsessed with the bloody Game of Thrones thing.
Oh, so good.
I think it was very good.
But it's so good because what it does is it genuinely does like elevate it to such a high level.
Yeah, but do you remember when like in the sort of late noughties, actually it wasn't probably later than that to be fair, around about 2012, every HBO, every Netflix series had the same kind of woozy, boozy, bluesy kind of intro to it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking stuff like Vampire. The Wire, yeah, that was, yeah. Way Down in the Hole, was it?
Yeah, but that's
Way
got a different...
Way Down in the Hole.
It's got a different artist singing it each series.
Yeah.
I think the original's the Blind Boys of Alabama, isn't it?
Mm.
But yeah,
it,
Tom
like,
Waits.
No, I don't. Tom Waits is the original.
That's one of them. Yeah. No, I don't think it's an original Tom Waits song.
Wrote,
no.
Okay.
Maybe it might be.
Suits his voice, I don't know.
Yeah, it does. It might well be. I don't know.
What's he building in there? Do you remember that song? It used to be on MTV quite a lot. It wasn't really a song for me. I don't know why it was on MTV.
Well, a lot of it isn't really. I mean, a lot of it is kind of like, it almost sounds a bit like poetry, doesn't it? set over the top of music. I do like Tom Waits, so he's good.
I like his cover of I Don't Want to Grow Up. When I'm lying in my bed at night, I don't want to grow up.
That is a very good impression of him, mate. Very good. Well done.
What's his biggest song?
Clap Hands is my favourite of his. That's good. Clap Hands is on, it's on, oh, what's it on? Rain Dogs. Mm. It's good. But the reason I was going to say about sound, because what I feel has happened, and people can email in hello@lukeandpeacher.com and talk about this if they have a firm opinion on it. I feel like that's really, it's something that almost like cinematography, which has really come on. Like every series now, that's every kind of drama series now that makes it onto Netflix or Prime or whatever, generally speaking, is beautifully shot. Now, I know that's partly to do with the prevalence of much more affordable kind of equipment, but it's beautifully shot without exception almost now. But also soundtracks have come a long way as well. If you think of about, so I would say, for example, Breaking Bad, which many people would say is, you know, the very best. I mean, we have to get into that debate now, but people would argue that, and I think it is part of the conversation. So the soundtrack's particularly amazing. I mean, they have incidental music they use quite well. They use a bit of
the death scene was had a bit of had like a 70s track in it. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's
Exile. No, it wasn't
it's Exile, Baby Blue, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. And the there's a really good scene with a band. What are they called, man? There's a really really good scene in it with a particularly good indie band. I forget what they're fucking called now. Anyway, apart from that, that's different though. That's different between taking songs and matching them up to scenes and stuff. It's different to composing original music for particular purposes, which Ramin Djawadi does brilliantly with Game of Thrones, and which whoever did Succession does as well, because they filter it in, they drop it in here and there. It's not just the theme. It kind of permeates the whole series.
Obviously, Gamora, they've got one piece of music they use every fucking scene.
Yeah.
Well, you know something shit's going to go down because they play the song. Yeah, but also the arse fell out of music about, you know, 20 years ago. So, like, bands in particular are much more into getting their music licensed, and also the same for composers as well. It's the only way you can make cash, because you just can't make it anywhere else.
Absolutely. Absolutely, that's right. Yeah, syndication is a big part of it now, isn't it? Anyway, we've been to Guildford, High Wycombe,
and place, mate, haven't we?
Sheffield, haven't we? Sheffield was fun, wasn't it?
Sheffield Sex City, as I call it. I'm a big fan of Pulp, my favourite band probably, and because they can't do anything wrong. They can't fuck anything up now. They're finished. They can't fuck it up.
The OCs, that's the band I was thinking of. The OCs,
there you go.
Sorry, so carry on.
I'm just saying Pulp cannot fuck anything up. They're finished, they're done. So we can just move on with our lives and appreciate Pulp for what they were. Jarvis Cocker's band, of course. And
your love for Pulp has kind of manifested itself fairly recently to me. I didn't know you were so into them.
No, but I think I've sort of drawn a line under my formative years and sort of went, yeah, that's my favourite band.
Right.
Like His and Hers I would listen to any day. Yeah, I'd never been to Sheffield. And I don't know why, because it looked pretty good to me.
It's a nice
looked
place, like a nice city.
Didn't you end the night dancing on a table?
No.
In a
I was present when other people were dancing on a table, but I was not one of them. I was not among their number.
Is that in every town centre nowadays?
This is a thing, apparently.
There's a couple in Newcastle, I think. In bigger towns, they seem to have these beer halls.
We're so out of touch.
Preparing for a right-wing putsch.
We're old and we live in London, so we have no idea what goes on. But apparently, yeah, I had never heard of this stuff. And the couple of people we went out for a drink with after the Sheffield show was like, oh, you've got to go to this place. It's really good.
Mm.
It wasn't good, but people were having a lovely time in there.
It's a big beer hall.
They are not appealing to 39-year-old men like me, and I get it.
What? I mean, presumably the beer halls are—it's just big steins of beer, isn't it? And some fizzy lager.
They serve the.
So what's not to love there then?
No, in terms of the beer they sell, I mean, if you like beer, you'll like it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just, it's very much a kind of...
performative space.
Well, you sit on these long benches and you drink beer like you would in an Oktoberfest or whatever, but at the same time they're playing pumping pop music and there's people dancing on the tables kind of in between you, which for me is not really my scene. but I understand the appeal. But yeah, I liked it in Sheffield. I've been there a few times before to watch the snooker, as people who are long-term listeners to this show will know. It's a great place. It's very studenty, but that's not a bad thing.
A man got very upset that you'd got the Crucible wrong or something. He said, it's not next to the Crucible.
No, it wasn't in the end. It was only across the road, though. I mean, we walked past the Crucible to get to it.
What do they need?
Yeah, but that was a brilliant Ramble Live show, because it was so enclosed. Everyone was very close in. It was good.
It was good.
There's a few shows left, actually. Ramblelive.com for tickets. Come and see us. We're doing Leeds and Newcastle, then Norwich, Birmingham and Salford, and then we're off to the US and Canada.
Yay.
So Ramblelive.com.
Fun.
For those tickets. Should we have a little break and then do some email?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
There you go. Is that all right?
I've never really requested to hear Jerry Halliwell solo stuff again. but there we are. There we are.
It's happened.
hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. Thank you very much to everyone who's emailed in over the last week or so. Mm. It's been great to hear from you. Shall we put to bed this Wetherspoons egg debate once
yes,
and for
please.
All?
Yes, please. I starred this one myself. Correct.
Give people a little update in case they can't remember last week. What happened was there was an email in claiming that the eggs in Wetherspoon's meals come out of the kitchen as they come out, but they go into the kitchen, i.e. they are delivered pre-cracked and frozen to be reheated. And you and I, Pete, were talking about the time-saving benefit or lack thereof of that kind of process.
Would it be cleaner?
Because,
I mean,
I think the cleanest place for an egg is well inside its shell, isn't it?
Yeah, don't trust them. Will we get, after post-Brexit, will we get, those white eggs, those white bleached kind of eggs that you get in America, do you reckon?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Along with our chlorinated chicken.
I think the white eggs, yeah, for some reason in the US.
I think it might be a different brand, but also they do clean them as well quite harshly before they get to.
I don't know. I don't profess to have any knowledge on this subject, but my initial reaction is that they are probably from chickens that aren't treated very well. So they're of a different different colour because of that. But I don't know that to be true. Anyway, Owen's been in touch. I don't know if this is the email you styled as well, Pete, but I'm going to do it. He says, hi, as a former kitchen associate at a Newcastle-based Wetherspoons, I can confirm the claim of them using pre-cracked frozen eggs is utter bollocks. They did lots of weird things at Wetherspoons, but the eggs are legit. Microwaved roast beef is pretty rank, though. Cheers, Owen. And then Owen replied to his own email about 10 minutes later, saying, wait, sorry, I forgot about their poached eggs. They were vacuum-packed and pre-cracked. Christ, I hated that job, Owen. So Owen has put that to bed in quite a strange fashion and first of all denied it and then confirmed that it is true.
Right, okay.
But why? I don't understand why...
Why the poached eggs would be... Because presumably you have to cook them in precisely the same way. You put them in a little silicon cup, probably, and pop it into some water.
And then they cook it there, freeze it, and then transport it. It's probably because poaching an egg is notoriously quite hard to do under time pressure.
Yeah. Just make sure you add vinegar to the water, guys.
This is going to be controversial, right? But I'm going to stick it out there anyway. I've got no reason to besmirch the man, but this is my direct experience. I went to Longclume in the Lake District. I told you about it, didn't I?
Cartmel. That's right, yes.
And we stayed there, and part of the thing the next day was you got breakfast, and we were there for two nights. So the first morning, we got this amazing, full English, but, done in a Michelin star kind of way. And the second morning, we got poached eggs and avocado on toast, which I like as well. But I'm going to stick my neck out here and say the poached eggs they gave us were borderline raw. They were so underdone. It was unbelievable. Mm. Now, no one wants to have a hard yolk in a poached egg. I get that. Mm. And you want to have it just cooked. So when you crack it, it comes out. But this was almost translucent. Mm. The whole egg was almost translucent. And I thought, I'm not sure that should be happening here. I also thought that, because it's got a Michelin star, but I also thought, is that how Michelin star chefs think that people like eggs? And maybe I'm wrong.
I think if you've got one of those things, I mean, it's really easy to know whether you've got like a clear egg. There's probably some reasons behind it.
It was just cooked, just cooked.
It's probably by design. Because some people get up, they put like a lot of egg white. Is it egg whites? Or it would be, no, it'd be like the nucleus, wouldn't it? It'd be the centre, the egg yolk.
I think it's called the nucleus, mate.
I reckon in a cell it is, mate. the yolk, you know, where they put like five yolks in a glass and whiz it around. Maybe add some Tabasco and slam that down for breakfast. I might start doing that. I wouldn't mind that.
In my mind, the only people who have ever done that are bodybuilders in the 80s.
Yeah, bodybuilders in the 80s. Remember when like strongmen used to be like Big Daddy and stuff? Like the strongmen of the UK. They used to eat like loads of fried breakfasts and stuff, and that was the thing. Oh, I can eat five fried breakfasts and loads of bread and stuff like that. And that's why I'm strong. Remember when fat people used to be strong?
Yeah.
They used to be like, they used to have terrible cholesterol problems.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, look at him. He's really strong. I wouldn't get on the wrong side of him.
Yeah.
He'd tire out in about 5 seconds.
In the 80s, a strong man would just be a fat bro.
It would be.
Like an older fat man.
Yes. Isn't it?
And I understand the rationale back then between like, are you... Because another example...
It's like the school playground, isn't it? The fat kid is invariably the harder kid.
Yeah. But I remember when I was an electrician's labourer back in the day. And
I was an electrician's son.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you were, weren't you? Mm. You still are. Mm. There's a couple of geezers in the
Unless
team.
He's yet to be discovered.
Well, yeah. Watch this space.
He'll do anything to get out of a ramble show.
There's a couple of guys in the team,
older
guys, and they would have genuinely have a fried breakfast every morning.
Full
fried breakfast. Now I get that they're working physically, so they're going to burn all those calories off. A couple of them, I mean, there were larger blokes. Mm. They weren't ridiculous, but they were larger blokes. But you think, if you're going to, not that they would ever do this, but if you were going to look at it sort of more scientifically, there's probably higher calorie breakfast that are much more healthier for you than you'd have. I mean, it wouldn't be full of saturated fat, for example, and sugar and salt and all that kind of stuff. But it just used to be a thing. And they would also invariably finish at like 3 p.m. and not every afternoon, but they would go at least for a pint or two on the way home.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly why labourers, electricians, sparkies, plumbers, they all start really early. And my time is, I go to bed about 2-3 o'clock and I wake up about 9-10. And so whenever there's anything to do in my house, like I don't want anyone in my house before.
No, because your routine's different. Because you work late, yeah.
But their routine is obviously they're up at 6 and, you know, they're out and about by 7. And so they start work very, very early. But I do think historically that is why, because if you had a codependent who was also working, they would finish at 5 and you could slip in a couple of pints before you went home.
Yeah. I know a guy. I'm
pick up the shopping.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm quite friendly with my neighbours, and one of the neighbours I know in particular, I won't name because I'd get him in trouble, but he is kind of always back and forth from the local pub.
Mm.
But for him, it's just like, it's a 5-minute walk. I'll put the kids to bed. I'll pop down there just for a pint, maybe a pint and a half, and come back. And it's kind of an anchor, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's good. Like, you get out, you meet people, you get to chat to a local.
Yep.
My best friend Jimmy, he's got about 3 local pubs near where he lives. And if you go there, and I'll say, look, we'll go for a pint, I'll come to you. Go to his place, and then go to the pub on the end, the corner of his road or whatever. He's like a local celebrity in there. It's a great thing for him to be able to walk in there any time when he wants a pint, and definitely going to have a friend in there.
Oh yeah,
the community aspect, that's great.
My dad's the same. I mean, his pub is Gillen's is grim, but they do have football, so I do get a text every time Newcastle are on the telly getting hammered.
of course, there's like an aspect of that where all the kind of lily-livered liberals like us will be like, oh, well, you know, but it's quite an unhealthy lifestyle. I was like, yeah, but these pubs are really important to communities. Mm. Like when I was a kid growing up, the local pub was a big part of it. We'd go there. You'd get like a little.
I would never say any of that.
No, but
I'm a heavy drinker, Luke.
I know, but I said that liberal people do sometimes think like that, don't they?
Younger people.
Yeah, but it's a part of it, man.
But you see a generation of men, and it is mainly men. But again, it's like quite exclusionary. Like, why is it acceptable for a man to do that and it's not a woman? But it is a cornerstone of communities, but also. We sort of grew up watching these men sort of do it every day. And so, like, when people talk about the dangers of alcohol, we've got so many kind of like people we can point to and sort of going, that guy went to the pub every day of his fucking life. And he's 90.
Yeah.
And he might have lost a leg or two.
Yeah. It's like when you see an interview of like a, I don't know, like a woman makes her 100th birthday and the local press go around there and go, what's your secret?
Tabs, cheese and wine.
Yeah. I have a glass of whiskey before bed and I smoke 20 cigarettes every day. Some people just got it. Local pubs is a great scene. It's a rich scene. So if you've got any stories about your local pub, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com.
Have you ever bought fish? Have you ever bought meat from a man who appears in the pub?
I got offered a car battery and a deli-sized block of cheese from a guy in a pub once.
Look, I mean, a deli-sized block of cheese is fine, but a car battery, you don't know how many cycles that's gone through.
Mm.
You don't know what state of disrepair that battery's come out of.
Yeah. Also, I'm not going to buy a car battery from a bloke in the pub.
Well, you don't
who's
have your
also
car...
selling cheese.
You don't
and
have...
I'm not going to buy cheese from a guy who's selling car battery.
He only does square things.
Yeah,
he only does square
oblong or rectangular very, shaped,
very
goods.
Stackable, very stackable.
Yeah, cassette tapes.
I just
a brick.
I just read up on the eggs. Apparently, it's just because the Americans clean them, and they don't want any shit on their eggs. Basically,
fair enough.
Which is fair enough, I guess.
Let's do another email. Go for
all right,
it.
I also had the Wetherspoons egg. Let's have a look. Stew Jones, a delicious stew. Good morning. A long time listener, second time emailer. As always, I'm late to the party. I'm one of the many episodes, 199. 199. Sounds like just yesterday.
Yeah.
Because this is 199 point whatever. There was mention of several 80s pop stars. Pete mentioned Lisa Stansfield and how her song All Around the World should have been turned into a computer game where she was looking for her baby.
Famously, you thought that was about an actual baby, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Still an excellent idea, I think. There was also mention of Frankie Goes to Hollywood and the many versions of The Power of Love. Why don't they do a mashup of all of the songs of the 80s in one video game? Stansfield, one mission. You're with Stansfield, you've got to look for a baby. Then you're with, I don't know, Prince in a Raspberry Beret. Or possibly a car. One of his car songs would have been probably more applicable there.
Little red Corvette.
Yeah.
That'd be brilliant. It'd be like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, but less violent because Prince was a pacifist.
No, but I mean in terms of how you play it.
Yeah, he'd just be ram raiding his record company constantly.
I mean, essentially, I mean, in...
If you don't own the Masters own you, Luke.
It's true. Tell Taylor Swift that. In Vice City, you are just driving around in the car listening to these 80s songs anyway, aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's essentially the same thing.
Well, it's not the same thing because you could have the characters from all of the, you know, you'd have the Cool Cat, DJ Cool Cat, where it's called from that fucking this song.
DJ Cool Cat?
Who's the woman who did DJ? Did she fuck about with DJ
Paula
Cool
Abdul.
Cat? Paula Abdul. And DJ Cool
was
Cat.
Was it DJ Cool Cat?
I don't know. He had a stupid
two
name.
Two steps forward, I take two steps back.
Yeah.
That song,
and
yeah.
A man, and the man who like danced in the video, he just got covered over by a DJ Cool Cat or whatever it's fucking called. Anyway, this brought to mind, to Stu Jones's mind that is, an 80s computer game that I had for my Sinclair ZX Spectrum 48K, rubber keys, named after the 80s Liverpool band Frankie Goes to Hollywood. In the game, you were an anonymous character and had to find your way to the Pleasure Dome.
Sorry, can I just say that it was
that is the worst song, idea ever.
Yeah, it is bad.
Yeah.
And we'll come on to that in a minute. But the opposite attract thing, the male voice in there was a guy called Derek Stevens, and he performed the voice of animated character MC Scat Cat.
Scat Cat. I knew he was into coprophilia.
Oh, God. But I think that was the angle.
I can't recall a... on the way, you had to become a whole person and complete tasks in order to gain attributes, sex, love, passion, and faith. These symbols appeared on the cover of the album. I can't recall a great deal about the game because I was probably playing the original Football Manager. I also recall another 80s pop star tie-in game called the Shaky Game, endorsed by the Welsh Elvis Shaky Stevens. If my recollection is correct, it was a maze game where you had to avoid the bats and get to this old house and open the green door.
That sounds unbelievably shit. Can that be true, or Stu just making that up?
No. I certainly remember the Pleasure Dome, Freddy Goes to Hollywood game. I mean, I don't think they were very good, but the game could be made in a weekend on the Sinclair ZX Spectrum, and it was usually made by brothers, like 18-year-old brothers in their bedrooms, programmed in machine code. And you didn't need that much artistic flair to complete a lot of these, and it was quite a cheap bit of marketing product. Frank Sidebottom used to do a lot of his own games, which is interesting. He used to program his own.
We learned about Adrian Edmondson having a game in the 80s, didn't we? How to be a complete bastard.
How to be a complete bastard. I think that is the best, because you're used to sort of seeing like licensed games for IP that are obviously bigger than a UK short-lived book/TV show.
Yeah.
I think it was like one episode, wasn't it? And a book, How to Be a Complete Bastard.
I think so, the
book. But the video game was fucking excellent.
Have you played it again?
A fart.
Have you played it again, though?
Yeah, I have actually.
Okay,
and it stands up because it's a little bit spy versus spy. You go around a house doing whatever the fuck you want. And it's a very underrated piece of work. You could click 3 times on Google and get to it and have a little fiddle. It's excellent.
About a lot of
have
things.
A little fiddle.
Also, something that kind of goes underreported about Ade Edmondson, who's obviously a legend, is that I think he was the voice of Pepper Army Animal, wasn't he, as well?
Wasn't that not quite obvious?
Oh, was it? I don't think...
You're a bit of an animal! He sort of talks like that, doesn't he?
It's great. I don't know if that's been mentioned enough, has it? He's not known for that, is
mentioned?
He? Well, I've mentioned it now.
Oh, dear. I'd love to do a character voiceover. That could be much fun.
Is that the end of Stu's email?
That's the end of Stu's email.
He says, can any other listeners confirm the existence of these games?
I am a listener and a producer of the show, and I am confirming.
And can they recall any other 80s pop star computer games? Keep up the great work, Stu Jones.
There was Rockstar at My Hamster. That was very good as well.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was a big deal around some of my friends. I've never really played it myself.
Yeah.
But that was like a big whoop, that was.
I'm looking at the 5 weirdest pop star video games ever. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, that was a big one.
That was a classic.
Yeah, that was classic. That was an arcade machine. It's got everything. Wu-Tang, Shaolin Style. Wu-Tang, like Def Jam's had a couple of
Wu-Tang,
amazing shows.
The best Wu-Tang one was Taste the Pain, which was that beat-em-up kind of Street Fighter type. Is that a beat-em-up Street Fighter?
Yeah. All of those were like...
it was like Street Fighter.
Wu-Tang had one that was Def Jam. One of the Def Jam games was fucking amazing.
Right.
Everyone loved it. Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Devo had a few.
I did that. I'm not surprised by Devo. All right, Pete, let's get out of here. Let's wrap up, and we'll come back on Thursday, maybe with some more chat and some chat like it. Thanks for your company. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. Have a lovely week, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.